Well, good morning. I would encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and think about some things this morning that are of first importance. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am to be here. These are not the circumstances that we planned for, and this week is not turning out the way we had hoped it would, but such is 2020, and these are the days of our lives, and we are all doing the best that we can. I am very thankful to the elders for the opportunity to be here this morning. I've known the Davises for a long time. I have a lot of respect for them. Stacy Norman's brother Wade and his family are just some of my dearest friends in all the world, and I love Stacy and his family and have much respect for them. I've known the Rouses for a long time, but last year Larry and I had the opportunity to spend a week together in the Czech Republic, and I don't know that I've ever experienced a better week in all of my life, and we got to share in that together. I love and respect Larry and Yvette so much, the work that they have done here. They will be missed here. You will fill their void when they are gone. But I rejoice with them that they're going to be in the Charlottesville area. They won't be too far from where I live and work in the Washington, D.C. area. I work with the Annandale Church. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Sarah and Nathan's dad and soon to be Matt's father-in-law. So thank you for loving my kids and being so good to my kids. I have so many emotions standing before you this morning, but I'm going to leave all of that right there and turn to some things that are of first importance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verses 3 through 5, the New American Standard Bible, the ESV, the NIV, translates these words this way: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared." This morning, I don't want you to think about your brother or your sister who is sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you. I want you to think about yourself. And as you think about yourself this morning, I want you to ask yourself the question, what is at my core? What is at the center of your life? What is really the main thing in your life? When you make a list about the things that matter to you, what is at the top of your list? What are you most passionate about? What are you on fire for? What do you love to talk about? Because it's what you think about. We all talk about the things that we think about. What do you like to think about when your mind is free? There are a lot of things in life that we just have to think about. But in your downtime, in your free time, where does your mind go? What do you think about? If I were to ask you this morning, as an individual person, if we were having a one-on-one conversation and I were to say to you, what defines you? Would you talk to me about a relationship? Would you tell me about your family? If I knew you and someone asked me the question, well, what defines this person? Would I immediately associate you with a cause or a movement or some political affiliation? Does your hobby define you? Maybe it's a team. Maybe when people think about you, they think about the ball caps you wear and the jersey you wear and the team that you think about and you talk about and you follow. Or maybe God has gifted you with an ability or a talent and you have allowed that to define you. And when people think about you, they think about basketball or they think about the guitar, or they think about something that you're really good at, and you have allowed that to define you. For some people, it's their house or their car or their possessions, and for some folks, and I'm confident that this is true of many of you in this assembly because of the fact that we're in Auburn, Alabama, and many of you have come here to go to school at Auburn University, and a number of you are freshmen, and you haven't declared yet, and you're still trying to decide who you're going to be. And so when you think about this question for yourself, it's just this constantly shifting gaze that you yourself are trying to figure out. And I rejoice with you this morning that you got a lot of good people around you who will help you to figure that out. I didn't mention Ryan Hasty and his good wife, but I have a lot of respect for them too. And as the Rouses depart, I encourage you to rally around them and to encourage them. Ryan does good work, and I respect him, and I love him for his work's sake, and I hope you will too, and you'll be an encouragement to them. They need you, and you need them. As we think about what's at our cores, and as we think about what ought to matter to us in life, we don't have to wonder about that. There is a God in whom we live and move and have our very being. And God has not just left us to our own devices. He has spoken. And He has spoken in such a way that we can understand. There are some things that are hard to understand, but not impossible. God has communicated to us in such a way that when we read, we can understand. There are a lot of verses in the Bible, and I believe that every one of them matters. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, a man that Jesus Christ himself called as he was traveling to Damascus, a man that Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit of God, a man who was carried along by the Holy Spirit of God, said to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, there are some things that are of first importance. There are some things that are foremost in time and place an order of importance, and the things that are of first importance have to do with the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth. Who is this Jesus? What did he do? Why did he do it? What is he doing, and what is he going to do? The person and the work of Jesus is of first importance. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. His appearance that validated his resurrection. These things are foremost. They are foremost in time, in place, and in order of importance. And as we think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to get right, church, when it comes to the fact that the good news about the person and the work of Jesus Christ is going to be the worst news that anyone ever hears before it is ever good. The gospel of Jesus Christ is communicating to each and every one of us as individuals that we have sinned against a God who is holy, holy, holy. He is not just holy. He is holy in the absolute. He has never thought a thought that was sinful. He has never said a word or a sentence that was sinful. He has never participated in a sinful behavior. We have sinned against a God who is wholly other. He is completely set apart from sin. My conscience that He gifted me with when He created me in His image convicts me that I am not like Him. I think sinful thoughts, present tense. I say sinful things. Even now, I do things that fall into the category of sin. My conscience has convicted me in the past. It convicts me in the present. And as I live, I have no misgivings about myself. I have not yet arrived. I have not yet been perfected. I have not yet been glorified. I press. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians, the third chapter. And that is exactly what he said to Timothy in the last letter that he wrote, so far as we know, by inspiration. I am, present tense, the chief of sinners. The God who created you in His image wants you to know that you have sinned against Him. And the punishment for sin is not a timeout. The punishment for sin is... it's not, Jason, go stand in the corner over there until I tell you you can get out of it. The punishment for sin is not to reduce our screen time. We always found that to be an effective punishment for our kids. We would take their screens away from them. We'd take their phone away from them, or their iPad, or their Wii. Take the television away from them. We take their screens away from them. The punishment for sin is not to take away our screens. My dad had this way of taking his belt off, where when he would unstrap it in the front and pull it out of his pants, it would hit every belt loop on the way out. It was horrifying. My dad's version of the rod was his belt. My mom's version was a switch. And she'd go outside and she'd get a switch out of a bush and she'd come in there and just break that thing off on my legs. She could swing a switch. The punishment for our sin is not corrective discipline like my dad and my mom practiced on me and my sister as we grew up in their nurture and admonition in the Lord. The punishment for sin is death. That's what you need to understand about your personal sin against God. You deserve to die for it. And so here's the good news. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes in His person and in His work on the cross can be saved through Him. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for my sins so that I wouldn't have to. He died for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. That's who Jesus is. And that's what you must understand about Him if you are to live a life in Him to the glory of God, full of His Holy Spirit. The one we have sinned against is pleading with us to understand that He's the one who's going to save us. Who is this Jesus? He is a unique man who did a unique work. He is like us, but He is unlike us. I want to turn your attention to Romans, the third chapter, beginning in verse 21, and let's read together. From Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. And as we read these verses together, consider God's holiness and His justice and that big word, propitiation, it has to do with penalty and wrath. Consider the subject of sin. In Romans 3, verse 21, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law of God and the prophets of God and the Psalms of God, according to Jesus in Luke's account in Luke chapter 24. The totality of God's word, the totality of the Old Testament is about Jesus. Genesis through Malachi is pointing to Jesus. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, watch this, through faith in someone in particular, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all, watch this, who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood, watch this, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has, watch this, faith in Jesus. In the person and the work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, the holiness of God was maintained, the justice of God was upheld, the penalty for sin was paid, the wrath of God was appeased, and the sin of those who believe in the person and the work of Jesus is forgiven. Hallelujah! What a Savior! You will never read a more profound or important sentence than Romans 3, verses 21 through 26. That, my beloved brethren, is what is of first importance. To use the language of 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6, Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, is the main man in all of human history, of all the people that have lived from Adam and Eve until the present time. Jesus is the man. And the main event of human history is His death at Calvary. And what the resurrection of Jesus does for us, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, is the resurrection declares. And this is the point of the sermon in Acts, the second chapter. The point of the resurrection of Jesus is it declares that the sacrifice of Jesus for my sins was acceptable to God. Because God raised Him up. And He wouldn't have raised up an imposter. He wouldn't have raised up someone whose blood wasn't sufficient to take away my sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares Him to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection declares His person and His work to be true. This man, the man Christ Jesus, and this event, His death, burial, and resurrection, this is what is to define me. So, if this is what is of first importance, and I submit to you for your consideration this morning that it is, according to God the Father, and according to Jesus, and according to the Holy Spirit, according to the Apostle Paul, when you read, you can understand that what's of first importance is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If this is of first importance, then in my language, in my words, what is of second importance? And for your consideration this morning, I would encourage you to consider that if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is of first importance, then what is of second importance? Of second importance is how we respond to it. Of second importance is of how we respond to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we don't have to wonder how God would have us respond to it. Why did we emphasize all of those times in Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, that we find the words believe, that we find the word faith, that we find the concept of taking the facts that God and Jesus and the Spirit have revealed to us about the person of Jesus, the will of God for all of us is that we would believe the truth about Jesus. In Romans, the sixth chapter, we learned that in our response to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that not only does God want us to believe the facts of the gospel, but there are some commands that pertain to the concept of obeying the gospel. In Romans, the sixth chapter, beginning in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into what? Into his death. Well, why would we respond to the gospel by being baptized if we believe the facts about the gospel? Because in baptism, we are baptized into what is of first importance. Not just his person, but what he did, his person and his work. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together, watch this, verse 5, in the likeness of his death. Do you see the key word there in verse 5? The word if. Do you see what the key concept is in Romans 3, 21 through 26? It's faith, it's belief. God wants you to believe. Jesus wants you to believe. The Spirit wants you to believe. That is why Jesus in Mark's account said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and I want you to tell everybody who I am and I want you to tell everybody what I did, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so in verse 5 of Romans 6, what do we have? We have the word if. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, how do I unite myself together in the likeness of his death? Verse 3, by being baptized into his death. By being buried with him through baptism into death. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, those of you in Rome who have believed and have been baptized into Christ, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. I've often thought that the Holy Spirit had a special affinity for those of us who are from the South, because he used the word reckon in Romans 6, verse 11. You reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's of first importance? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the person and the work of Jesus. Why does God call us to believe in that? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Why does God call us to be baptized into Christ? Because Jesus died for our sins. And God's will for you is not that you die for them, but that you be united to Jesus in his death, so that his death can be the sufficient punishment for your sins. When we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death. His blood washes away our sins. It cleanses our conscience. And as we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Jesus is not a dead hero or a past founder, he arose. We arise with him to walk in newness of life. This is why God has called us to be baptized into Christ, so that we can be united together in him, so that we can say, as individuals, here is what is at my core. This is who I am, and this is what I am about. This is what I'm thinking about, and this is what I'm talking about, and this is what I'm about in my life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I'm still in the flesh. The new birth is spiritual in nature. We are born of the water and the Spirit. We do not go back to Calvary some 2,000 years. We are not nailed to the cross with Jesus physically. It is spiritual in nature. It is not God's will for Galatians 2:20 to only be true of the Apostle Paul. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus that Galatians 2 verse 20 be about you and me and all of those who call upon the name of the Lord. If I were to ask you the question, you know, sum up your life in 50 words or less. Who are you and what are you about? What would you say? 50 words or less, sum up your life right here, right now. May I encourage you to consider Galatians 2:20. And you make those words about your life. Beloved, if we keep what is of first importance first, then lost souls will be convicted of their need for Jesus. God will be glorified. Jesus will be exalted. Folks will stop resisting the Holy Spirit. Souls will be saved. If we keep what is of first importance first, then the church, the individual members of the university church and the collective university church of Christ will be edified. Brothers and sisters in Christ will be edified. I believe that every verse from Genesis to Revelation matters. But it was Jesus himself who said that there were some weightier matters. And here's what I want you to appreciate this morning about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. These weightier matters put all the other matters into perspective. Why do these other things matter? Because Jesus died so that you could be forgiven, so that you could walk in newness of life. Life in Him, conforming to His image, conforming your thinking and your speech and your behavior to His. This is what being His disciple looks like. It means thinking His thoughts and speaking His words and behaving as He behaved. And it all begins by internalizing the truth about who you are in relation to Him and what you have done that prompted Him to die on that cross. This morning, by way of encouragement, when you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about three things. The gospel of Jesus Christ consists of facts to believe, it consists of commands to obey, and it consists of promises to receive. And that is the order, that is the progression. When you come to believe the facts about the person and the work of Jesus, then and only then are you ready to obey the commands. No one in the New Testament was ever baptized into Christ who did not believe the truth about Jesus Christ. The gospel was preached. The facts concerning the person and His work. The person of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Well, first of all, He is God. Second of all, He is the Son of God. Third of all, He is the Son of Man. He is the Christ of prophecy. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. And above all else, He is what we most desperately need. He is our Savior, the one and only name in which we can be saved. When you believe those facts about Jesus, then and only then are you ready to obey the commands. If you believe this morning that Jesus is God, that He is God incarnate, the only begotten Son of God, and that He died for your sins and that you have sins that needed to be died for, then by way of encouragement to you, you are ready to obey the gospel. Don't wait. Confess Him as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of them. Which leads us to the third and final progression of the gospel of Jesus. There are promises to receive, but you will not receive them unless you believe. Remember that refrain in Romans 3, 21 through 26? Yeah, God did all this in Jesus, but it's not going to matter to those who don't believe. It's not going to matter to those who don't have faith in His person and in His work. And if you don't ever believe those things, then you're not ever going to obey the commands. But when you believe and when you obey, there are exceedingly precious promises that are yours in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, by way of encouragement, I am what I am because of the grace of God that has been shown to me. And I can say that along with the person who wrote it in 1 Corinthians 15. Because what is true of the Apostle Paul there is true of me. But I can also say along with the Apostle Paul that what is true of him in Galatians 2:20 is true of me too. I think about Jesus and I talk about Jesus. And I press to conform to His image. When my life is over, the only thing that I care about that anybody ever remembers about me is that I preached what was of first importance. That I preached Christ and Him crucified. That I came among other people and I determined not to know anything except Christ and Him crucified, the message of the cross. If and when I am gone and they, as they say, bore a hole through me, I hope all they find is Jesus, because He is the man, and what He did is the main event. God help us to put what is of first importance first. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus, there are a number of us that would love to baptize you into Christ this morning while we stand and while we sing. Trust that His grace is greater than your sin, and that He will forgive you through the blood of Jesus while we sing.